Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with your host, Deb Wolf. And today we have with us once again our good friend, Dr. Kathy, Dr. Kathy Alanovi. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kathy.
Thanks, Deb. Hi.
Hello. You know, it's getting warm all over the country, or it's starting to in some places. And I'm wondering, as it gets warm, about the whole heartworm thing. Because some places, you know, hardly ever have heartworm problems, and yet people with money are using the vaccines and getting the treatments. And in other places, you know, there's a big heartworm epidemic, and sometimes people do it year-round, or sometimes they do it only in the summer. And it seems like there's a bit of a con game going on to me, because it just, the wealthier my customers are, the more chance they're on heartworm year-round, it seems. I don't know. Is that true?
Yeah, because they can afford it, right? So we hit them up for it. So you're absolutely right. It depends on what's the weather. So everybody knows, right? How do you transmit heartworms? Through the bite of a mosquito.
Okay.
Mosquitoes like it warm, and they also like to live near water. And so pretty much the rule of thumb is if temperatures are over 60 degrees Fahrenheit for 2 weeks solid, then the mosquitoes are happy and they should be out feeding, and they're going to have heartworms in their gut, the little baby heartworms. And so they bite a dog and they spit in there, and in the spit is the little tiny baby worms from the mosquito gut, so that the spit is so that the blood doesn't clot, but then there are the worms in there, and they get in the dog, and that's how our dogs get heartworms.
Okay, and heartworm isn't like the little tiny worms that come out with the poop once in a while, and you get a little liquid dose to give it twice, and the dog's fine. And if you neglect to do it for a little while, it's probably okay as long as you don't have lots of little kids kissing the dog. But this isn't that, right? This is more serious, isn't it? Like far more serious.
This is in the blood, and they grow up to be adults in the heart. They're developed between the right and the left side, right there in the valve where that's supposed to close nice and neat. There's worms living there, and the blood is supposed to go through and go to the lungs to get oxygen and then go back to the other side of the heart and go out to the body. So the heart doesn't work well, and they get large heart, and then they, you know, some serious down-the-road side effects of enlarged heart and lack of energy, and I've seen a couple dogs die kind of nasty side effects from the heartworms. So what do you do?
Is there a cure once they've got it?
If they have it, there is a treatment for it. Once upon a time, like back in the 50s and 60s, it was a product based on arsenic, and it was really pretty hard on the dog. Their chances of surviving were, you know, 50-50. But now there's some pretty decent medications and some good protocols for taking care of it. But why would you want to put your dog through all that, and why would you want to risk any damage to the heart? How about prevention, right?
Yeah, for sure. As long as it's not wickedly expensive and it's not being oversold. That's the other thing, right? Because I don't think you need to do this in winter. If you look out and there's snow on the ground, your animal's not going to get heartworm this month, right?
Thank you. Except if you live on the Gulf Coast, but then you're not looking and seeing snow on the ground. But absolutely right. And so that's why I started out talking about the temperatures. Okay. And then the other thing you said is that it depends on where people live. Like, I had a client who came in today who was like, well, you know, it's really dry where I live. And he's right, because my clients who live down by the swamp, all their dogs are heartworm positive. course, none of them have them on medication or anything like that. But the ones who are on the more dry areas, you know, a mile away, a lot less mosquitoes at a lot less risk.
Okay.
However, still, we're talking just the heartworm preventative tablet, $5 to $10 a month, depending on the size of your dog, as opposed to a $600 to $1,000 treatment and possible heart damage.
You know, sometimes, okay, I see the commercials on TV for the giant companies like 1-800-PetMeds. There's a few of them out there. And I wonder, because I know there's all these cautions out there. If you're on some kind of medication, you can probably find it on the internet. But is it really what they say it's going to be? Are you really going to order it and get the drug you think, or is it just going to be a fake sugar pill? And I wonder about that with online ordering, because I know that if you buy your meds at the vet, the price really, really varies from vet to vet and medicine to medicine. And so some people get the prescription from the vet and they walk it over to the store they normally use for their human prescriptions and they get it filled there, a big box store or whatever. But I'm wondering, what about these giant pet med places? Are they economical choices?
Some of them are and some of them aren't. When I've looked and compared prices between what my prices are and like PetMeds or any of the others, PetMeds actually, when they first came out, was much bigger savings for people than they are now. Now, they're not that different than my prices. They may be more different than people who live in the big cities who have more overhead, and so those veterinary clinics, you know, need to mark up more to support basically the space that they're living in. But then
yeah, and you pay for convenience. If you're downtown in any big city like Vancouver, New York, Toronto, if you're downtown and you buy a banana, it's going to cost you far more than it would cost you in a supermarket. So I understand that. If you're paying to, if money's not an issue and time is, and you're at the vet and you want to get it there, yeah, you're going to pay more, but I guess the vet deserves that, right? But it is, if it's a question of, will I give my dog this preventative or not? It's best to shop around, right?
Some of it's the same stuff. Some of it you get what's coming from, oh my gosh, it comes from Canada. People have been, it comes from Canada. Well, yeah, and? but
lots of good
of
things come from Canada, like me, Dr.
Exactly,
Gabby.
Okay. Right?
We only have 1 minute left in our first segment, so we're going to go to break and come back, hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf, and with Kathy Alanovi. And coming up next, we'll talk more about, I think I'm going to ask you more about this. You know, it does seem like the price really, really varies from vet to vet. So let's talk about that. How can people get vet care affordably? On Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044 and tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com, order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Hello, you're back listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, with me, Deb Wolf, calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. That's where my studio is, and that's where the hummingbirds are fighting with the rain to try and get to the feeders. Spring is here, and I'm talking to Dr. Kathy Alanovi way over in Indiana, and she says spring is there. So is it heartworm season now, then, or is it not yet?
Not for us. And I suspect you're not quite warm enough yet either. But it's coming, and there's time to think about it. But think about the medicine for a minute. We call it preventative. Mm-hmm. But what does it really do? It goes in, the dogs eat it, and it goes in the bloodstream, and it kills the worms. So it's actually a pesticide, really. And that's who it's regulated by in the United States, is that it's regulated by the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. So, you know, you don't really want to be giving that all the time if you don't have to. And dogs can have reactions. And you know, why do more if you don't have to? And so that's what's really neat about knowing what the heartworm life cycle is to know, okay, well, it's 50-something outside and it's dreary right now. And you have rain and I missed the sun that was here this morning. It's not time. But it might be within the next month, and so that's what's nice. And how about that? If you don't give heartworm prevention year-round, you save a little bit of money.
Yeah, that helps. And also, shopping around your meds helps. I think people will be surprised to see how different it can be from vet clinic to vet clinic or big box store or pet meds. There's a lot of difference in the pricing, isn't there?
There really is, and then there are a lot of medications that are the same. So a lot of the antibiotics are the exact same between people and animals, and you can go to a lot of the big places who have $5 prescriptions. I can't buy it for that. I can't compete with that. So sure enough, if people want to go to their local store, we just call in a prescription and they get it there. And apparently that's the trend that a lot of people think it's going to in veterinary medicine, that we won't have our own pharmacies anymore. And a lot of that stuff is going to be elsewhere because you can get it somewhere else for cheaper sometimes.
Well, you know, for years and years, I haven't bought things for dogs at a normal dog place. If the product is also used on larger animals, I'll buy it from a feed store that caters to farm animals because the price is a quarter. It's a quarter, and it's huge amounts instead of these piddly little amounts and tiny little bottles, you know. So sometimes going store shopping or hopping is worth your while, I think. I think you can save a lot. Years and years ago, and I don't even know if they still do this, but years and years ago, if I had a customer whose dog needed hip surgery, you know, for dysplasia or if they had a cruciate that they blew and they needed a very expensive knee surgery, sometimes they wouldn't want to do it because of the cost at the local vet, bringing in a specialist. You know, they were usually looking at about $5,000 total, probably more. But if they went to the university and sent their dog or took their dog all the way to a different town, different city, to a veterinary college, they could get their dog operated on for about a tenth of that. And so I'm wondering, does that still happen?
Not here. It's at least as expensive at the, as the university as it is at the specialist. And there's pluses and minuses because, you know, at having gone through the university as a student, it was a great opportunity. But boy, as the client, it's an all-day affair. You come in, you wait, the student sees your dog, then the clinician sees your dog, then they talk about it, then they come back and give you a plan. It's a great learning experience, but sometimes it's tough because the universities now have to make money and justify themselves because I guess there's not as much in the budget as there used to be. And so they have to break even and pay for what's going on. So it's not that anymore.
Okay,
it's
that's
kind of
a shame. I know,
yeah.
It's a real shame because some of these things are so expensive. You know, mm-hmm. I've seen someone spend $10,000 on an eye of a dog.
Oh,
and amazing. The guy felt so bad. He was golfing, and he always took his dog golfing. He used to just go to a field and, you know, hit him. And he was doing this one day, and instead of the dog running after the ball and bringing it back like it always did, it sort of went for the ball as he was striking the ball with the golf club.
Shoot.
So he struck the dog in the eye with the club. Terrible,
ouch.
Right? Just terrible. Oh, yeah.
Ouch.
Showed up at my door. It wasn't my customer or anything, but became my customer after that. Showed up at my door with basically with this dog with its eye not fully inside its head. And I right away had one of my staff people get in the van with him, and I drove, and they were like irrigating it with water from, and we got to the vet in time. We called the vet and we got all these instructions, and you know, we were just like, it was just terrible. It was like, you couldn't even look at the dog. It was so hard to even look at him.
Wow.
But he saved his eye. He still got the eye, but it was
wonderful.
Pretty damaged. So, I mean, it can add up really fast.
Well, and how fortunate for him that he had the $10,000 that he could afford to spend, because an awful lot of people just simply can't. And, you know, wow.
Well, even the tests, you know, if you have a dog who's over 8 and you want to do anything at the vet, well, it's going to be a couple hundred bucks in blood work usually just to make sure he's fit enough for the anesthetic. And then you go on from there. So that's kind of what I was hoping to spend total. And I've already dropped that before we've even looked at him, you know. And
right.
That's a problem for a lot of people. You know, I get recommendations from vets who are on this show that when your dog's over 5, he should come in twice a year instead of once a year. But again, that's kind of expensive for me. Do you recommend that?
I do recommend it. And a lot of it's because, so for every year we age, it's equivalent to about 7 years for our pets. And so, you know, we're supposed to go to the doctor every year. And how much do things change once all of us get into the over 60, over 70 time period? So, yeah, we want to see them more often. But on the other hand, it needs to be reasonable for everybody. And the way I've started doing it is that they're actually wellness exams, which, unless there's something going on, it's basically the price of the discounted exam that I have that goes along with vaccines. Because I'm not big on vaccines, especially in older dogs who've had them before. I don't think that's the important thing. To me, the important thing is, how's the heart? How's the weight? How's the bladder? How's the teeth? How are the eyes? Is everything feeling good? Everything's feeling good? Yes. If they're not, let's check it early. Because I'm going to notice, because I don't see your dog but twice a year, where you see your dog every single day. You don't notice small changes. Let's catch things early before it costs more money. Because if the teeth are a little bit yucky and all we need to do is a little bit of a dental cleaning, then, you know, I don't charge a whole lot for that, because I think that's one of those things that needs to be affordable. But on the other hand, if we wait so long that those teeth are atrocious and your dog's in pain and I'm not sure he's going to survive, then you're right. It's blood work, it's antibiotics, it's pulling all these teeth. I'm a fan of prevention, and it's going to cost a whole lot less than if things have gotten really bad and then we need to clean up the mess and make things better afterwards.
You know, you're right on topic for our email. In the next segment, I'm going to read you or tell you about a text and an email that came in for you, asking just exactly about that. It's a toy dog with really bad teeth, and the lady just doesn't know what to do. So if your dog has stinky breath, if you think it's funny and it's a family joke, you're probably not realizing there's a dental problem. It could be something so simple, like a stick caught in there, or debris, or something really simple. Or it could be, you know, like you, a dental problem that needs some dental care. Stay tuned. We'll be back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk, with Dr. Kathy Alanovi, helping us keep our pets healthy.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that.
You know
I really do.
I really do.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Has your life gone to the dogs? Are you at your wit's end? We can help. At America's Canine Academy, our specialists can put an end to the mutt mayhem and magically stop the destructive behaviors that your crazed canine has developed. We offer step-by-step guidance and make-sense techniques that will turn your problem dog into a calm, stable, and well-behaved companion. And we can even do it all by phone. Even from afar, we can assess a dog-gone-wrong situation and help you recapture your sanity. Call 877-WE-WHISPER, americascanineacademy.net, where dog whisperers are trained.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. It's Deb Wolf about to ask one of your questions to Dr. Kathy Alanovi. Are you ready, Dr. Kathy?
Lay it on me. I'm ready.
Okay. So I got this text and then an email explaining further from a woman who wanted to know if it's normal. She says, okay, let's see what she says here. All her teeth. About 2 years ago, she had 10 teeth removed. They were all rotten and causing her pain and problems. Then last week, I noticed something was bothering her too. So I took her in, and the vet says she needs all of her teeth removed. Maybe they can save one canine. They're not sure yet. They're going to go to work first. And so I asked her, okay, what kind of dog? It's a Chihuahua. How old? It's now 7. So it had 10 teeth removed at age 5, and now it's 7, and it's having pretty much the rest removed. And, you know, I asked her, was it always your dog? Yes, it was always my dog. Did you always feed it well? Yes, I always fed it well. All this sort of stuff. Did you take it for yearly checkups? Yes, I did. When was the last time you saw the vet? Less than six months ago. So I got to wonder, did they miss it? Or can all those teeth go rotten in a month or two? I mean, it sounds strange, doesn't it?
My experience is that if their teeth are so bad that they get 10 of them pulled at 5 years old, that within 6 months to a year, it's time to do more tooth cleaning. And so, you know, because 5 isn't that old. At 35 years old, I still had my teeth.
I should hope so. Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I want to be like my grandma at 95, still have my teeth. But a lot of our dogs don't. And so what is it? And I swear on these little dogs, there's something going on with them. And I've heard some breeders talk about that the little dogs don't make the enzymes like they're supposed to, so that they don't, you know, have good health in their mouth. And I don't know that there's really anything to prove that one way or the other, but I can tell you there's something up with those little dogs in their mouth. So if at
The vet she has said it's because it's a toy breed with very small mouth and the teeth are crowded. And he said it's often the case with toy breeds. But it still sounded pretty extreme to me. You know, this is something it's I would expect in an apprehended hoarding situation from a dog who'd had terrible food. This is not...
No, that's not young, always, isn't it? Not always, but I'm with you. It wouldn't magically have appeared in the last month or two if 2 years ago 10 teeth were pulled. Mm-hmm. You said something else. So if she's going to take her little baby in to get the teeth pulled, and they're talking about saving one canine, what for? Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they would.
I wouldn't, because that tooth doesn't grab a hold of anything. It's going to need to come out because something's happening in there, and so that tooth is going to have to come out later. If it's ready to come out, then pull the darn thing, because then the mouth is at least balanced. It makes no sense to leave three teeth on one side and nothing on the other, because every time that dog moves its mouth, it's not square, and it gives crazy information to the brain about chewing, because there's a ton of nerves that come from the mouth and the jaw there. And if every time this little dog chews, it's crooked because its little snaggle tooth is getting wrapped around its tongue or something like that, the brain's going to get crazy information. And her little baby is just going to continue to have issues.
Why do you think this is going on, though? Like, really, I mean, is it just because it's a toy dog? Or do you think the enzyme thing kind of rings home for me? Because, you know, all those little poodles and Bichons with the brown stains around their eyes, that's supposed to be an enzyme deficiency. And you see that an awful lot in toy dogs. And is there
that's
a pushed-in face connection to all this, or a hypoallergenic part of all this? Like, what is going on?
What have we done to breed these little cuties? Boy, they're awfully cute. That's not a natural dog. And it's not that I don't like them. I think they're wonderful and they're cute, but that's not what the original dog was. And so this is humans involving themselves, and it's like those little munchkin cats. Aren't they the cutest little things ever? They're dwarfs. They're mutants. They're freaks. And yet somebody's making more because they're adorable. But any little person will tell you about all the pain they have because their legs and their arms don't develop right. Now we're making cats who do that because we think they're cute. And, you know,
that's terrible. I have a problem with a lot of these things, and yet some of them are so hidden. Like a quick example that everybody can see and remember. You look at a Weimaraner, beautiful dog, lovely, has the worst coat in the world. It shreds like paper. Dog like that runs into a rose bush and it's got to go get stitches. Why on earth? It's a recessive, you know? It really wasn't meant to be there. And it's, we love the color. I love the color, that beautiful lavender gray with almost like a hue of jade purple sort of. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And it's not really meant to be there, is it?
No, it's not. And so they have health issues. How about doodles? Pluses or minuses on doodles. The original idea was for it to be a hypoallergenic dog. And the man who first did the breeding on them, he was very specific in who he put in the breeding so it would be a hypoallergenic dog. Now everybody's making a doodle of whatever.
Am I correct in saying that he always did male standard poodle and female golden retriever? But now there's doodle with poodle and female poodle with male golden and this, that, and the other going around that really isn't the same cross, right?
It's not the same cross. And they have health issues, crazy health issues that you would expect if it's a mixed breed dog. They'd actually have better health than the purebred dogs because we're supposedly mixing in more variety. They have worse health. I've seen inflammatory bowel disease. I've seen thyroid disease, lupus. It's crazy.
Do you know what else I think is going on there? And I really have a lot of experience with the whole golden doodle, standard poodle scene. That I think a lot of what's going on there is this tolerance for line breeding, which I don't like at all. It's just pandemic. And when you get a dog that's really popular like that and there's huge demand for it, well, it's more likely they're going to do that. They're going to breed daddy or granddaddy to granddaughter or daddy to daughter. And when they take a doodle that's already part poodle and they mix it with the poodle, they're not even getting the hybrid right. So, you know, instead of having a couple pups in the litter that shed, they may actually get better results that way. But what are they losing? They're losing the beauty and the health and the strength. So I think, yeah, people have to, whenever you pick a breed that's super popular, you really got to look at that flow chart they give you. Ask them, is this a line bred dog? Is it, you know, who's the parent? If you see a name popping up 3-4 places, that's one dog being used as grandpa. He's also uncle. He's, that's not good. If there's a problem with him, there's a problem with your puppy because he's all over the gene pool. Okay, well, we'll be back in a minute because I want to talk to you about hybrid vigor, which is what you just touched on. If you're listening and you don't know what that is, stay tuned. We'll be talking to Dr. Kathy Alanovi about hybrid vigor in a moment.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And
you know that
I really do.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo. Healthy.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-caller technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Callers that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's pawsandsilk.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf, your host, and we're talking to Dr. Kathy Alanovi. And Dr. Kathy just touched on a concept that is really disliked among the purebred breeding world. And when it first started being talked about back, I don't know, around 87, I mentioned it once on a microphone at a Great Canadian Pet Fair and had the Hill Science veterinarian lined up with a whole bunch of other people to come heckle me and tell me how wrong I was, that there was no such thing as hybrid vigor. But the thing is, as much as we love our purebreds, and I'm a standard poodle girl, as much as we love our purebreds, the truth is the mutts outlive them, don't they? And they don't seem to be sick as much. So is that true or not, Dr. Kathy?
Well, that's crazy that they would say that because, you know, let's talk about livestock for a minute, and that's the whole thing they talk about in livestock is hybrid vigor. And so why would it be different for dogs than for cattle? Because a mammal's kind of a mammal. Look at humans, the little population.
Yes. So, even humans, you get a disease that's in one ethnic community. If you marry a person of the same ethnic community, you got to go for blood tests. Like there's Tay-Sachs,
yeah,
there's celiac. There's a whole bunch of diseases with different ethnic groups.
Uh-huh.
But if you marry someone completely different, maybe you won't have that problem for your children, right?
That's right. But, you know, nobody goes and hangs out with people completely different because that's too different. But then you said earlier line breeding, and to me, the difference between line breeding and inbreeding is whether or not you get genetic defects, because in my mind, it's the same. It's inbreeding, and it's just, you get a nice-looking puppy, and ooh, good line breeding, and you get a litter that they all die. By the time they're 3 days old, must have been inbred. It's
yes, and
thing.
even and you get the combination. Like what I find happens when they line breed is you still get one or two incredible pups in the litter, beautiful pups that look just like the one you're trying for that's overrepresented in their genetics. That's what you get. But the rest may have some serious health problems. So you don't get a 10 sound puppies and they're pretty cute. You get one gorgeous, stellar star and eight or seven that really are going to have a hard life. And that's the part I don't like.
It's not fair for the dogs or the people who buy the dogs. Well, this is pet quality. Well, why is it pet quality and not show quality like the other one? You're right. It got the short end of the genetic pool. And I've got to deal with that.
Well, and there's things, too, like epilepsy is a really common one in Goldens and some other dogs. It might not show up till the dog's six or seven or eight. That's really common. Mm-hmm. So now they've bred them all over the place. He's grandpa, he's uncle, he's son, he's this, that, and the other in the gene pool. And they find out he needs phenobarb for the rest of his life to keep him from having seizures. How many dogs did he make with the same problem, right?
Right. Exactly.
I really don't like line breeding. And I don't. Temperament, too, I find gets changed. Do you find that as well?
They do. I think you're right on that. Some will be more high-strung, and some will be too quiet and too laid back.
Fearful. I find fearful is common, you know, and that's not what you want in your dog. A shy, fearful dog is a nervous dog. It's a dog that's probably going to have some health problems over the years, or maybe hasn't to begin with.
Who wants to go through life being nervous all life long? That's no fun. That's no fun for the dog, and so how can you as the dog family have fun with your dog who's afraid of everything? That's no fun either. Let's have fun. That's what dogs are for. They're meant to be a blast. Let's have a great time. Happy wagging tails.
And they should make your life more peaceful, more secure, be more confident. I mean, that's what PTSD dogs are all about. They're so cool and mellow. They help their owners stay less anxious. You don't need a dog that winds you up and freaks you out. An opposite attention dog. Oh, yeah, I'll get one of those. But, you know, sometimes that's what people get. And I do notice I've known people who will brag to me. They'll meet me at the store or something. They know who I am. And they'll start telling me about their beautiful line and how they have, you know, 50 people on a wait list for pups by, and they name the sire, the male dog that they're going to. And you just know that they bred this dog. Oh, like just so much. And they've convinced all these people who who are paying double and triple the price of the Labrador retrievers you see listed in the paper. They've convinced all these people that his genetics are so incredible, this grand champion who won all these prizes, that they should want a dog that's got him overrepresented in the genes. And I don't think that people get it, that as good as he was, his progeny, if they're inbred, are not going to be that great. You know, it's better to have a little of him, right?
Right. Get some variety so that there's a lot of contributions into him instead of all of the specifics, because you don't get the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't. Even identical twins aren't.
Dr. Kathy?
There you are.
Huh. Yeah, even identical twins aren't. I kind of lost you there. Aren't what? Aren't identical, I guess.
Oh, yeah, they're not identical, and there's difference in between. And so the, you know, there's just these, just while the egg is turning into a puppy, there's genetic variation going on. And, yeah, you can't get the same thing every time. And honestly, I don't want the same thing every time. I love my dogs to pieces, but I want a different dog on the next time around.
And that's even me. If you had the same dog, he wouldn't turn out the same. I've noticed this before. I had these owners that bought a golden retriever when their kids were really young, and the kids were kind of came first and the dog had to be second. And this dog ended up being the most well-behaved, well-trained, sweet little dog. A golden retriever got along with everybody, didn't need a leash. Okay, later on, the kids are now teenagers and in college. They get another golden retriever and it gets spoiled rotten. And it is the biggest selfish. You cannot go anywhere. You can't even open the door. It bolts away. I mean, it's completely pampered. It's a totally different dog. Got it from the same breeder. You know, it was a relative of their original dog, but they treated it different. So
we need some discipline in that house.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I came in and changed that all around.
Yay.
Don't you worry. Okay, so we only have a little while left. Just a couple of minutes, Dr. Kathy. Do you want to tell people how they can look you up?
Best way to find me is at drkathyvet.com, so drkathyvet.com. You'll find all sorts of other things that I do. Consultations to talk it on the radio with Deb.
Yeah, I know. I wish we could go for a horseback ride one day.
That would be fun.
That would be fun.
I'll
well,
come
everybody,
visit you when your weather's good.
Yeah, well, when our weather's good, it's beautiful here. Okay, well, everybody listening, if you start to see the sun come out and it gets to be 60, 70 degrees, and it lasts like that for a couple weeks, it's time to think about heartworm. Otherwise, you're good for now. All right, so thank you, Dr. Kathy.
Thank you.
Oh, it's been great, as always. Maybe next time we'll tackle a horse email. Somebody, if you're out there with your horse problem, send us an email. Or dog problem, or a cat problem, veterinary or training. We're happy to help you out on air. Okay, everybody, until next time, from me, Deb Wolf, and Dr. Kathy Alanovi, and All Paws Pet Talk Radio, be good to your animals.
And anytime you're